Turn to your neighbour and say, hello, family.
Hello, family.
Woohoo! Hi, family. No, we're not neighbours. If you said hello, neighbour, start again. Hi, family. What's the difference between the neighbour and your family? Separate houses, different DNA. I love that we are doing a youth group for year 11, 7 and 8, 10s and 11, 12s, year olds. Guess how old I was when I got born again? Yes, I loved it. I'm going to tell you a little story today about it. Don't you love, there's this program on TV and it's called Long Lost Family or something. I just love watching it. Occasionally I get to, when I get the controls, I get to watch it. That's not very often. He's not even listening. Anyway, and they have, and it's like all these people who are like adopted and they've lost their family and they're looking and they know that there's another sibling or they've got a family just looking for, I'm just looking for my mother and my father or my this or my this person. And even watching the shorts, it's like, oh, look, they got me, found each other. And they're like, oh, crying. It's like, oh, it's so good. I don't, who loves those programs? Yes, come on. It's way better than the kind of contact that rugby has. I love those heartwarming stories. It's just so, like, it's so heartwarming. It's like these people have, you know, often done really well with their adopted families, but they're like, you know, I've got these little quirks and these little things, and they meet their family and go, oh, you do it too. I belong. And there's a feeling of, I belong. How awesome is that? Oh, look, they've got the same nose. They've got the same wart. They've got the same mannerisms. They've got the same... It's like, oh, I love my adopted family, but that's my family. It's my DNA. It's pretty cool, isn't it? I want you to just connect with some feelings now. I just want you to think about, has anyone ever been lost? Anyone ever been lost? What does that feel like? Scary, you feel panicky, you're out of loneliness, Bear Grylls, you've got to eat stuff that's weird.
Drink your wheeze.
You think, what would Bear Grylls do? You what? Yeah, you start praying really hard. You do. You feel displaced, right? Really displaced. When a new person comes into our community, oh, weird, feels like a hair on my arm, but it's not, it's just a silly cord. When somebody comes into this a place like this for the first time, where other people connected, but they're not, it can sometimes feel a little bit weird. I feel displaced. I kind of feel a bit lost. Who connects with that? Just me. I went to a thing on whatever night it was, Friday or whatever, Monday night, last Monday, and it was, other Christians in something they were having, and I walked in, and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm 50 years older than them. They're all about 10, and what am I doing here? I felt lost, I felt displaced, I felt out of place. It's like someone comes in down and sat next to me, and they say, how are you going, Nikki? I say, oh, well, I feel like I need to go home now. I'm the wrong place. That's what I felt like. So I want to talk about these feelings because I just want us to identify these feelings that we have, because who works in a toxic environment? Anyone here ever worked in a toxic, not now, obviously all our workmates are awesome. So who has ever worked in a toxic environment, you know, where there's, this is, girl environments are good for that. Not so good for that. Hey, we're really good at girl environments. It's the boy environments. or even a work environment where it's okay and cool to talk about sex and look at rude pictures and, you know, those kind of weird environments. Hard, isn't it? When you're in that kind of environment. But when we come back to our family, what do we feel? Safe, relieved, at ease. I can be me. I can be who I truly am. That's really cool, isn't it? Family is one of our values. It's out there on the wall. It's actually really, really high for Wayne and I, this value of family. And when we talk about family, we're not talking, Wayne and I are not talking about our family of origin. My family, always for a long, long time, since probably just after I was 11, have valued this family higher than my family of origin. Now, there's reasons for that, because my family of origin wasn't necessarily a safe place. But I was 11 when I first started going to church, and my mother kind of made me. My brother had gone to church, and there was church connections. But when I went to church, I first went with my mum, because my brothers had gone to this evangelistic outreach weird thing happening at the Arrowtown Golf Club, where my father used to go to drink. It was weird to go to a meeting that was other than golf, at the golf, anyway. And here they were. We walked in late. My mother insisted I had to go. Yay. 11-year-old, 10 or whatever. It's like, yay, really? Okay, got there, walked in the door. There was loud music. What? This is a church meeting. And I was indignant and outrageous. They had drums. They had guitars. And wow, lo and behold, who's that dancing up and down the aisles? My two brothers. One of them was in a kilt, scathing, because it was flicking up. Oh, my word, I was the source of indignant embarrassment standing down the back of the church like this pretty much the whole time. That was my first meeting. Pretty judgmental for a little kid, eh? It's like, I've been to church and it doesn't look like this. Anyway, the little kids can come in here if they want to. It's okay. We can even leave the door open. Anyway, roll on a few months. I don't even remember how. I don't even know if I was actually 11. I could have been a tiny bit older. I could have been later because I didn't even think to mark it down. But about 11. So then my friends, I went to school in Queenstown. So we moved to Queenstown when I was like 7 or 8. We moved to Arrowtown. Lower Shotover Road, to be precise, is where we moved to. And my dad built the bridge with the curve in it. That's where he worked. And so we're on the borderline, but I should have gone to Arrowtown Primary School, and my siblings went to Queenstown, but my mum decided to put us all in the one school, which meant I did all my primary years in Queenstown in the school. So when we finally did shift into our own home, it was in Arrowtown, and all my friends were in Queenstown. So in my days and times off, I didn't have any friends to hang around with, and it was really boring. And I was just like, oh, saying this to my friends at school, you know, I just wish I could go and play with somebody because everybody's in Queenstown and I'm in Arrowtown and I can't get there. And they says, oh, we go to Arrowtown. Oh, do you? What do you go to Arrowtown? We go to Arrowtown for church on a Sunday, and it just happens to be in the Arrowtown Hall. And I went, well, can I come? She said, sure. Little 11-year-olds. So I said, Mum, can I get to church on Sunday? She said, yes. I get all dressed up and off I go. I'm about to walk in the door and it's all started, and all of a sudden all those feelings hit me. I'm walking into a strange environment that I don't know. And I know people because they're here, but I can't locate them because we're all started. My friend's mother, whom I couldn't even remember, I don't know, she says, oh, come on, okay. Obediently go over there and sat down with her. And I sat with her for the next few months, her and their family, and I came part of their family. Over the next years, people did this for me. They picked me up and took me to church, especially once church shifted from being in the Arrowtown Hall. They made sure I had a ride. They made sure I knew about all the events that were happening. And we did communion today. Wasn't that awesome? Communion, Beck. High five. I loved it. It was really good. Really good. I said to Beck, do you think we could do this little thing, have communion in groups? Because we used to do that all the time. It speaks so firmly of family to me. When we come and we commune together, when you commune and you have food, that's family, isn't it? And so today we come together and we had our communion together and we prayed for one another and we said, heal our sore bits. That's what family does. We lift one another up. Anyway, so they took me places. I did all of my teenage years in church, like all of my friends. Who's been a teenager raised in church? With parents. Leave your hand up if you've been a teenager in church without parents. Few of us. And it's not like I can go to church and I can do things wrong during the week and nobody ain't going to tell me off. Just my own parents, if they knew about it, if they cared. Anyway, my dad would tell me that I wasn't allowed to go to church, and I says, okay, Mum, how long can it be before I can go back to church? Can I go to youth group? Like, he stopped me from going to church several times for lasted for 2 weeks. Go to youth group. It's great. I love my youth group. My youth leaders picked me up, took me to youth, because I was always allowed to go to youth. Always. Never was I told I wasn't allowed to go to youth, except for the one time that I got drunk and my dad banned me from everything. It's like, oh my gosh, my throat was cut. I never drank again. It was a great punishment. My youth leaders picked me up for church. They'd pick me up for youth group. They'd take me to youth group wherever it was, and they'd come home, and I'd say, we're late. I passed my curfew, 10 o'clock was my curfew. Even as I got older, 17, almost 18, 10 o'clock. And if I was home later than that, I was going to get the biffo, you know, because that's happened a little bit in our family. We were always really scared when we got home and it was late. So I had my youth leader come in and he would say, why we've been late, and it'll be happy. My church was my family. They connected with me. They connected me to the Lord through all the years, until I was finally 16 and I was allowed to get water baptized, because I was old enough to make my own decisions, so I didn't have to ask anymore. Yay, yes. Do you know who's been saved and not water baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit? Who can remember that time? It's really tough. Let me tell you. You read the Bible and it don't mean nothing. It's like, blah, 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 blah. They say, read the Bible, Nikki. I do, but I don't understand it. It helped when I got to 16 and we did a bit of studying of, you know, Shakespeare and the language. I started to, I could make a little bit of head and tail about it, but by word, all I'm saying is because it's really hard. This is not easy. It's just not easy to be 11 for a start with no family and really not able to understand the word of God. All those years. Anyway, but it was my family who got me there. It was the Gutchlegs. It was the McIntyres. It was the Jenkins, it was the Wilsons, it was the Malthus family, it was the young adults. Let me tell you about the young adults. They didn't want the younger ones there at the youth group, thank you very much, because we're older. Like, we our youth group went from my age, whatever that was, 11, all the way up through to almost 30. I loved hanging out with those guys. They were so cool. They were getting engaged, and I was watching them get engaged, and I was watching them hang out together and how cool they were. And then they get engaged, and the pastor would come along and say, you have a time of separation now for 1 month, and they're like, oh, this is really hard. We're not allowed to talk to one another. It's like, oh, really, you're doing this? Why are they making you do this for? Oh, we're supposed to be really pure. It's like, really, why are they doing that for? That's interesting. We're just going to hang into God, and I just pray, oh, we're at the end of our month, and oh, he's asked me to marry him, and oh, we can get married now. It was good fun. They tried cutting us off. There's a few of us, you know, 2 years lower than the age group, and they tried making a whole new youth group for us. It didn't last, and I'd always be asking, can I go to youth group now? We've had a wee time of separation. Can I go back to youth group? They helped me. That's why. They helped me. I don't know, some of them aren't even around now. Anyway, let's turn to our first scripture. Psalm 68, 5 to 6. To the fatherless, he is a father. To the widow, he is a champion friend. To the lonely, he makes them a part of a family. To the prisoners, he leads them into prosperity until they sing for joy. How cool is that? I love that. I love that. I love coming into my family. I love this place. Ephesians 2:19 says, "So you are not foreigners or guests, but rather you are the children of the city of the holy ones with all the rights as family members of the household of God." I loved this next one. Let's go to this next one. Romans 8:15 and 16. And we didn't have this translation back then, but I love this. This is all the Passion Translation if you can't follow it. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty. Hallelujah! Oh my word, going to my mother's church? Sometimes she'd insist, "You need to come to my church." Why? They sing boring songs and the hour-long service feels like two. And they don't sing all the songs together. We have to sing one up, down, and then they sit up there and they talk like this. Stand up now. They do the songs in the middle so that you don't go to sleep. That's why. Anyway, so you haven't received that spirit of religious duty leading you back into the fear of never being good enough, but you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God, and you will never feel orphaned again. Oh, amazing. Cool. For as he rises up within us, our spirits join him, saying that the words of tender affection, beloved Father. Or I think other versions say Abba Father, doesn't it? I read that. I would read this and go, I'm adopted in. The first time I read this scripture that said I was adopted in to the family of God, it felt weird, you know? It actually felt the same way what we identified being lost feels like. It actually felt odd. The first time I read the scripture, I was little too. I was in those teenage years. And then I read it again, and I would talk to my youth group leader about it, and they'd say, "No, you're adopted in. You're adopted in. I'm adopted in. I'm adopted in. Yeah, you're adopted in. You're part of this family. I'm a part of this family. Am I? Yeah, you are." Wow. Then one day I actually believed it. It's like one day it's like, yeah, this is my family. Dude, you take my family, you take me. Come on, I take you on. I used to do that. I did that for my sister once. See, we're having a bash up. And I went over there and I was like, "Yeah, you don't take my sister." And it's like, grabbed hold of one girl. She's much like big, you know, she was 4 or 5 years old. I grabbed hold of her here and I went, "Yeah." And she's like, "Ah!" And all the other girls went, "Oh," because she was on the ground and they were like punching and kicking. And so I grabbed hold of one here and it's like, "Yeah, get off my sister." I'd do that for you guys. I tell it all Wayne's hair out. No. Fire in the belly. Not to you, for you. We are his true children. You know, what else happens when we're in family? It's like, what's yours is mine. Can I borrow your clothes? Thanks. I used to try borrowing my sister's clothes. I'd only get what she left behind. So my sister was like almost 5 years older than me, and so she'd gone. You know, my older siblings were gone. I was like an only child. I've only kind of figured this one out. And they wouldn't come home and play with me. But when you are a part of God's family and you're adopted in, then what his is mine. How cool is that? What does he have? What does God have? Everything. Does he have an answer for my stuff? Yes, he does. Thank you very much. I'll have that because it's mine. Mine. And I don't even have to plead for it. I don't have to beg for it. I don't have to do the performance thing, the religious duty stuff to get it because it's mine by right of inheritance. Hallelujah. In family, everyone is respected. 1 Peter 2:17. It actually doesn't matter who you are. What does it say? I haven't got it written down. Recognize the value of every person and continually show love to every believer. Live your lives with great reverence and holy awe of God. Honor your rulers. I spend a lot of time with my family because my home environment was so sucky. I wouldn't stay at home. So I go wandering the streets. And so I go and visit all the people in the church. They were very lovely to me. Let me come in, and they give me coffee. And I particularly go and visit all the time my youth pastor. And I plonk myself down on the couch with the gorgeous little kiddies. And I would stay for as long as I possibly could before I had to go home. Which I get home from school about 4. By the time I walked, grabbed some food and walked down to their place. And tea was 6, I had to be home for, so from 4 till 6, 4 till 6, home for tea, then clear out again if it's a summer day, clear out because the sun comes down, so it ends at 9, so I go out and visit again for however long. They were great, they loved me to come in, I'd sit down and tell them how awful home was, and they'd listen. Great, it was wonderful, I loved it. I loved them. We are each other's biggest cheerleader. Yeah. I'm your biggest cheerleader. Jesus comes and says to me, hey, have you noticed Mike? I was like, did you notice Mike? Hasn't he changed? Yeah. Isn't it awesome? Yeah. And I love that. I love that. Welcome. Long time ago, welcome, obviously. Gosh, Nikki. New family members. Hey, Zarek. High five. Sometimes I don't get to new people very quickly. That one over there, my friend Carol, hi. We're buddies, me and Carol. Family. We're each other's biggest family. In family, everybody is respected, doesn't it? And our family respect each other. We don't always agree. Actually, my family of origin, the respect really isn't there, but I'll learn. So, or not always in odd families like mine, none of yours are odd, do we learn the right way to do family, but in the family of God I learned. How cool is that? God really watched over me really good because every single one of my siblings got the bash. I didn't. I don't know why. Because there were certainly times he was mad enough to. Anyway, I know why he did, because someone called the police on him one time. Acts 2:41-47, when the police come round, my sister was friends with the policeman's daughter. She got the bash, went and told a friend, said, you come talk to my dad will talk to your dad. And that's why. Acts 2:41-47 says, oh, this is really cool. And all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to sharing meals, including communion. How cool is that? And to prayer. Family prays. Well, they used to say family prays together, stays together. That's really cool, eh? A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Hello. Hello? 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 We had communion. They prayed. Then they got the gifts of signs and wonders. Prayer meeting tomorrow night. Cool, eh? Like, really? That's all they did. They didn't get up here and dance and jump around. They didn't whip themselves. They didn't do the religious duty and the performance and like, I know how to pray now, hallelujah. They didn't do none of that. They just had communion together like we did today. Then they went and prayed together, and then they were together, you know. You know that together feeling, hey. You know when one of your family's like out there and they're not really like out, you know. They're kind of one of us, we're family, but they're like got these weird thing, belief things happening around them, you know. But come in the people who say, the people in the family who say, I'm the black sheep. Have you had that? I'm a bit, I hate it. So you are not. You're only that because you confess it. You just actually have different personality. Like some of them can all be one personality type and one's another personality type. Makes them feel different because they get a different pattern. No, you haven't. You're not the black sheep. You've just got a different personality type. It's okay to be different. It's safe to be different, hey Ben, when you're in family. I can't wait till next year when Ben's here on staff and we can have nice blue hair sticking up. I'm looking forward to that. I'm seriously considering, I have seriously been considering getting braids. I've really been considering getting braids. It's just like, do I want to look bald? Nearly. I have seriously considered getting braids for a lot of years. I just don't know if I could rock it. But anyway. And then they all worshipped together at the temple and they met in people's homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared meals and they had great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And every day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. All they did was excelled at being great family, and the Lord added. That's all they did. They prayed together, they helped one another. And is it this one or the next one down? It talks about they shared all their clothes and they went into community where nobody was missing out. And we kind of look at those communities like Glory Vale these days and go, dodgy stuff happens. And they do. Wrong kind of community. Don't get that thought in your head. But they came together. Look at your neighbour and say, hi, family. Hi, family. Hi, family. Hi, family. Family, family. Family. I love family. They formed a community that was family. It was so inclusive, it was unique, that there were all sorts of miracles that happened. People who walked into that family did not feel odd or lost. They felt welcomed in and they felt automatically at ease. How cool is that? We were created for family. Those in this community shared all their lives together. They went so far as to share all their earthly goods. These days, communities like that are not considered healthy. But they were without judgment. And they did love, but not in an unhealthy manner. Healthy family members carry each other's burdens. Galatians 6:1-3. I remember we were driving to church. This time church was in Queenstown. I had this really cool vehicle that we went to. I went to church with the Malthus family and they had three little kids and they had seat belts in their cars. They didn't have seat belts when they bought the car, but they made their own seat belts, little chains, which went around the kids. They could sit wherever they wanted on that bench seat, and so I could sit in the back with their chain on. Their seat belts, because just in case Stephen breaks really hard, they won't come right over the front seat. Well, yeah, I can identify with that. Galatians 6:1-3, and we were driving into church, and was it them or was someone else? Anyway, they were talking about this guy, nearly had his name, this guy who was just like, he was the bee's knees. He came in, he was really effervescent, leadership all over him, and he promoted him to go and work with someone else, in another church, and they were talking about how when he got there, that he had fallen into immorality with someone, and that all this stuff had happened, and they were really, but how they were talking about it, it's like they were really concerned. There was not judgment there. They couldn't understand it, but there was like the sense, let's just pray. Let's just pray for them. You know, when you're little, you hear lots of conversations, don't you? You hear lots of conversations your family talking about. You hear what they say. You hear the motive in their heart. But they were so concerned that, like, they didn't not talk about it. Yay, thank you for not talking about it. Thank you for talking about it in my hearing. And I kind of says, what's happened? And they didn't really, stuff's happened. And, you know, it's a bit of a shame. But it showed me the love, you know. Galatians 6, 1-3 says, if you think you're too important to stoop down to help another, you are living in deception. Love empowers us to fulfill the law of the anointed one as we carry each other's troubles. My beloved friends, if you see a believer who is overtaken with a fault, may the one who overflows with the Spirit seek to restore him, win him over with gentle words, which will open his heart to you and will keep you from exalting yourself over him. This means that when you see somebody in trouble, you should actually say something and not just go, it's not my problem. My friends, they all had family, right? They all had mums and dads in church, and I didn't. So you can imagine we all hung out together and we got involved in the same stuff together, didn't we? And they had parents and I didn't. They got told off and I didn't. They didn't want to go to church, but I did. Which was a wee bit of a, no, I want to go. And I'd walk down the road in my church clothes to my friend's house to get a ride to church. And then I walked up there one day and there'd been a full-scale war because my friend wanted to wear trousers to church. Oh, my giddy aunt. Not only that, but she had some high heels. And I had a dress on. Oh, Nikki, you're so wonderful. Why can't you dress like her? Why did you wear a dress, Nikki? Because I wanted to. It's like, look at her. She looks all right to me. I'm in the middle. What do I do? She was like, anyway, she came. I think she came in her trousers. I'm not sure if she got changed. But anyway, by hang, don't you go to church in trousers. Oh, my gosh. She died a wee while ago. Anyway. So I was having some teenage troubles and some temptations, and we were sort of, you know, not doing so well. In my part, I had a boyfriend that wasn't Wayne, and my pastor's wife came to me. And my pastor's wife, this one was in the church, eh? My pastor's wife came to me and said, Nikki, we've just noticed some things, blah, 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 blah. We don't think you should be going out with this guy, and blah, 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 blah. And I went, okay. And she said to him, because he was from Christchurch, gone down to Christchurch, to Queenstown, to Fergus McIntyre, who was my pastor, to get cleared of drugs and to get off drugs. And so he was keen on me, and I was kind of like, well, he's interested in me, so he must be all right. And she said we shouldn't go out together. So I said to him, and he says, oh, well, let's do it. So we didn't go out together, just be friends. But and we did after a month because we thought we'd obeyed. Funny, yay, what, the 16? I says, I think that's not really what she meant. Anyway, but the thing is, she came to me and said to me, we don't feel we can talk to you, Nikki, because I said, why not? She said, because your parents don't go to church. And I said, that feels weird that you would treat me differently than my friends. And I really actually respected her. And when we did start going out together again, I really wanted her to come and tell me if it was okay or not. But I wasn't going to go to her and ask. But I would have appreciated if she'd come and said, But she just felt like she could, they had a different kind of way of disciplining back then in the church. It was very controlling. So I was kind of glad. But it made me think what I was doing. I didn't exactly do exactly what she said, but it made me think. And I had a check, which eventually I came back to. Really cool, eh? So in families, we can talk to one another about our stuff. And when we're not judgmental, when we're actually coming from a place of care and concern, we can hear it, eh? Even if we don't want to. Psalms 141:5 says, "When one of your godly lovers corrects me or one of your faithful ones rebukes me, I will accept it like an honour I cannot refuse. It will be healing medicine that I swallow without an offended heart." Of course. Of course we would. Because if my brother and my sister come to me and tell me, look, you're doing blah, 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 blah. It's like, okay, I hear you. I hear you. I have a choice to be offended. I have a choice to hear what they're saying. Even if they're mistaken, I will continue to pray. Isn't that good? It's lovely. I love that verse. I've never read it in the Passion Translation like that, but I love it. Families are all about love. 1 John 4:18 to 21. If I didn't have family, a church family, I wouldn't be here. You need to understand that. You need to understand that if my church family never picked me up, an 11-year-old, and rang me up and says, "Do you want a ride today?" And I had regular rides, right? So I'd always go with the Wilsons. And then they moved on, and then I'd always go with the Malthus family. I initially started with the Gutchlags because they were my friends. They moved on. I didn't ever go to church with the McIntyres because they were the pastors. They went way too early. But I nearly always went with the Jenkinses and the Malthuses because they live around the corner from me. But when one of them couldn't do it, they'd say, "We can't come to church this Sunday. You need to get a ride with someone else." And sometimes I didn't have a ride, so I'd walk, because at the time when I was walking, it was down at the Lake Hayes Pavilion. We could actually get there in an hour, me and my friend, if we set out early enough, could get to church on time, because church is in the afternoon. But I wouldn't be in my, usually friends going to church would see us and pick us up, and so it's like we've had a walk and a ride. It was great. And you'd get a ride home, always, it was great. Because church was really short. It went from 2 in the afternoon till 6 p.m. in the afternoon. It was really short, and I'd often get home late for tea, and my father would say, "What have you been doing all day?" "So I've been at church." "What have you done at church all day?" It's like, "I don't know, I was having fun. I don't know what I did at church today. I can't remember." And literally, that's how I answered him. "So I don't know." He's asking me, I'd freeze. That's how I started taking notes. Because my dad would say, "What did the preacher preach on? What's the point of you going to church for?" It's like, "I got to take notes." So he came home, and the preacher said this, that you're a sinner and you need to be saved and ask Jesus into your heart, and this is how you get saved, and da da da. He stopped asking me. It's great, eh? It's good. Now, did I read out 1 John 4:18-21? "For he's given us this command, whoever loves God must also demonstrate love to others." Good place to demonstrate it here, hey. Not just restricted, though, to church, obviously. "Anyone can say, I love God, yet hate his brother," and it says you're actually a liar. That's interesting. None of us hate each other. Love, and further on down it says, "Love never brings fear, for fear is always related to punishment. But love's perfection drives out the fear of punishment from our hearts." So I always was scared of punishment, because that's how punishment happened in our family. So I was always afraid of being punished. But I was never afraid of God. Never, ever. Never, ever. I knew he wasn't going to treat me like that. In family, you can chat to someone about your issues. It's a safe place. Someone's got your back. And even if we don't agree, we still love one another. I read this quote from somewhere in my notes. "Loving people is a direct reflection of how we love God." Isn't that cool? We actually have to love one another on a deeper level than just, you know, "Hi, I've seen you today, goodbye. have to actually go deeper than that. You know, I always encourage my Mainly Music team to go around and visit. We need to connect with our Mainly Music mums outside of Mainly Music. As soon as you do that, as soon as you go visit them in their home, for one little reason, the relationship goes deeper. Just like that. That's all it takes. We think it's really hard to connect with people outside our natural community. It's actually really easy. All you have to do is go and say hi and have a cup of coffee. That's it. Doesn't have to be anything meaningful in the conversation. God makes things really easy for us. Did you know that? He actually makes it really easy for us. We've just got to learn to go outside of our boundaries. And even in worship, there are some boundaries. I really sense this morning people have got boundaries like this. This is where I'll go in worship, and I won't go further than that. But actually, God's calling us deeper. We can't go deeper if we stay within our personal boundaries and in our own little bubble of where we think we should go in worship. God's saying, come with me, follow me. Follow me. There's no fear to follow the Lord. I never had no fear when I was following the Lord. I had fear being at home, but I didn't have fear going to church. Never. Never had fear. I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, I've been up the prayer, the altar. Nick, who's not filled with the Holy Spirit? I put my hand up. I wasn't water baptized either, but I put my hand up. I come pray my God. I'm shakabana. I said, copy me, Nikki. Shakabandi. I was like, no, the word was Shanda Messiah. I go, Shanda Messiah. Yes, you're speaking in tongues. Shanda Messiah, Shanda Messiah, Shanda. Just keep saying it. Just keep saying it. It'll happen. It didn't. No, it didn't. You mean well, but I'm not feeling it. Yeah, I know you mean well, and I want to be filled. Come and pray. Oh, not again. Shanda Messiah, yes, you've got it. Shanda Messiah, just keeps up, ba ba ba. Just say ba 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 ba. It's gonna happen. It didn't. Really positive though. Really positive. I loved it. I got filled with Holy Spirit, and we were in youth group, and we're in our youth group. We had just like 10 or 20 of us in my youth pastor's lounge, and I was squished into a little corner. It was a pretty tight fit, and they're all praying, and I'm going, Shalabasika, thank you, Lord Jesus, for you, but Kashikiana, what? What? I can hear myself better. What? I cut my hands. I could hear myself speaking in tongues to ensure that I was actually doing it. No one prayed for me. It was awesome. Romans 12:9-10. I fully expect when we see a 10-year-old or 11-year-old coming into church that we will be family. We will be family to that one. And then we'll say, before they go, are you coming back next week? And they will say, would you like me to pick you up? Is the next words you say. That's what was said to me. And they'll go, yeah. Would you like to come to my place for lunch? Can I? I've got no family. Why would you take an 11-year-old home for lunch? Where are you going now, Nikki? Nothing. Would you like to come home for lunch? I really would. I like that. Hi, sorry. Amazing. So when we were in worship today, Ben, and we were that whole thing about open, bring your vessels, like so like wine barrels inside of you, and I actually only saw two. But like I feel like God wants to give you more vessels. You know, the more you have, the more you can pour out. And I feel God wants to really fill you to overflowing with Him, so because that's just going to be a natural. What comes out comes from the infilling. All of you need to understand that how much God we have inside of us. When you have more God inside of you than you can hold, it's a very natural thing that it would spill out. Isn't it? Just very natural. So the key is not the spilling out. The key is infilling. And like I do see some of us do have really strong boundaries. Like, no, I can't shout in church. I just, Wayne loves rules because he likes breaking them. And so, like, I'm sorry, if you have personal rules of how church should be run, and you tell us, we might break them. But that's okay. Because what's important is that we get God. We just got to get him. And I've always been quite passionate about it. I'm really passionate about it because I learnt where he was. I found him when I was left at home and my mother had gone to the pub to pick up my dad. Sorry, the time's gone. We're going to finish with this. My mum had gone to pick up my dad and I thought they'd come home. I heard the outside door open and shut and I heard voices in the kitchen. I heard them come to the door to the passage and they stopped. I went, what's happened? I went out into the kitchen. There was nobody there. I go into my bed and I just pray that God would be with me. Just be with me. Because I was so scared. So scared. But God was with me. And he did. He came and he turned up. I tried one night to go and deliver myself. I went into the bathroom and you know that scripture about his the eyes and the eyes are the window of the soul. I went and stared at myself. Is there anything in there that shouldn't be? Come out! Because I watched them in church, right? And I'm sure he just laughed. But every time I was alone and scared on bed, I just lie there and I did all these weird stuff. Like I put my arms out and said, I need a hug. Oh God, come, I need a hug. And he'd come to me on my bed and he'd hug. I'd like feel like I'm not alone. I'm not alone. You know, your young people, they feel like that. They feel lost. They feel lonely. They feel alone. They feel disconnected from their own family. And we have all these devices that help with the disconnection. But God wants to connect. Let's stand up. Let's come close. Let's all come from the sides into the center. And we're going to stand arm in arm. You're going to pray for the person on the left and the right.